ESPN's Turon Davenport, talking Titans now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is that time of the week. We head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Turon Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. TD, good morning. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Doing awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, TD, we are just a few days away now at this point from the trade deadline. We've seen the Titans already move on from Brownlee. McCreary traded this last week. So what else do you kind of have your eye on if you're the Titans, if you're a Titans fan this week? Getting through, obviously, the weekend, the game Sunday, we'll see what else happens around the league. But what are maybe one or two moves the Titans could make before deadline day comes around?
Yeah, I think you need to look at Arden Key, Chig Okonkwo. Those are guys that could end up on the move. But at this point, you know, someone like a Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley, those are guys that have kind of been tossed around. I don't know for sure that they do anything with them, you know, especially with Ridley and that ongoing hamstring, and even Pollard with the neck. So, but Key, Chig Okonkwo, yeah. Sunday may be the last time you see 85 in a Titans uniform.
See, he's another guy, TD, that, and, you know, look, I don't like the combo of McCreary and Brownlee when you put it together, just because, you know, you're basically the entirety of that, along with Snead, you know, probably being done, is that you have to totally redo that position group when your roster has so many other position groups that need serious addressing. And I know that, like, Chig hasn't been great. But to me, like, if you're getting, I don't know, what, like a fifth or sixth, you're getting a third-day pick back for Chig, isn't he, like, don't you need to keep some young guys around here? Or am I overreacting to that?
No, you're not overreacting at all. We're actually sharing a brain there, especially when you talk about Okonkwo. Look, man, you know, it's all about making things Cam Ward-friendly, and I think Chig does that. I mean, if you look at it right now, is there anybody – in the receiving core or pass catchers, period, that is better yards after catch-wise? You know, and what's the whole thing that they're working on with Cam? And even if you look at what Cam said earlier in the year, hey, man, I got to keep myself from getting killed by getting the ball out of my hands and into their hands and letting them make plays. Well, he's probably your biggest playmaker as far as, like, once he catches the ball and goes. So to let go of that, it wouldn't be wise, in my opinion. I don't think re-signing him would be extra expensive either. So that's just a move that if I'm Borgonzi, Brinker, and that crew, I'm keeping him, and I'm extending him. You know, it's different than with McCreary, where, you know, the projection was, what, 4 years, $60 million. Hey, man, Rodgers is a solid nickel corner, but not for $60 million. You know what I mean? So there's a difference there.
TD, what have you made of how Sweat has looked since coming back in the lineup? And kind of long-term here, knowing that, you know, there's already been changeover and the general manager who drafted him is no longer here. How do you kind of view him in terms of what his long-term future could look like here with the Titans?
Well, I think Sweat has a lot to prove, right? He has to show them that he could, you know, make it through a stretch of a season without, you know, being injured or having the issues, you know, and I think that's the main thing. It's almost like he has to re-win over this group, you know, and that's a tall order, especially without Jeffrey Simmons out there, you know. And you saw him last week, and, you know, there was good, there was bad. But, I mean, if you go back and look at the end zone view of that Colts game, I mean, there's a few times that you could drive a Mack truck through that hole. You know, and those are the things that can't happen when you have a guy like that who you invest the heavy draft capital on to keep from those holes being opened up.
So what are we seeing here with Jamari DK, TD? Obviously, the guy can run. I think he's clearly exceeded expectations. I don't think there's any question. There's a lot more talk about Io Manor, and he's been solid too. But with DK, I feel like we're seeing maybe something – significant, or what do you think his ceiling is, and where do you think it goes for him from here?
Yeah, I think you're seeing the birth of something special, to be honest with you. And for me, what I've really liked about these last 4 or 5 weeks is actually just talking to him and getting to know him. He gets it. You know, you look at some of the things that he said, right? You look at Monday, you know, he was asked, you know, why does he keep going? What motivates him? He's like, yo, I'm blessed to be in this situation. I worked all my life to get to this point, and it's a blessing. So every day I come in understanding that. Couldn't have a better mindset, right? And then you look at the physical ability. Derek Mason, D-Mace, he said it, and I took it back to Tim, and the smile on his face was so funny. But he said, you know, he kind of reminds him of Percy Harvin. Now, let's not get it twisted. Percy Harvin was a premier playmaker, and Chim isn't there yet. But that type of all-purpose usage, I could see that. You know what I mean? And so that's, to me, what I think this could develop into, something along those lines, where it's like you got a guy you could just as a weapon. He could do everything you want him to.
Where are you at on Latham right now? Obviously, the hip injury, you know, derailed things earlier in the year. And, you know, the first game he's back in there after the hip injury, you're staring down the barrel of Max Crosby looking at the other side. What have you made of kind of how he's rebounded since then?
Yeah, I mean, he's had his ups and downs. I think he could still be a more consistent blocker. You saw him get beat a couple times, you know, this past week. And it's things that you got to try to avoid. But to me, I think it's I'm pretty sure it's the right hip. And so with it being the right one, like when you're kicking back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the one that you're landing on and resetting. So I'm not giving the man an excuse, but I just wonder if that's something that he's still just trying to get down pat.
So, TD, we were talking earlier about Cam Ward. You know, you've got a pursuit here for the Titans of the number one pick. I mean, they're going to be right in there for that. And if they get that, I mean, that could be, you know, that could, especially if there's a QB, and there usually is, that people start to covet, like a Mendoza or whoever, that could really be a heck of a bonus for them. But at the same time, even if Cam Ward develops, it seems to me like you want to be able to win some games. I mean, you want good numbers, you want better mechanics, all that stuff, but also, you know, a quarterback who wins some games, I feel like that's big for the quarterback, for the team around him, for the fan base. How do you balance, I guess, that? Not, and of course the Titans are trying to win, Cam wants to win, but if you're a fan of, you want your team to get the number one pick, but also, like, how important is it for, do you think, for Cam Ward, not just the technical development, but that he sees some wins and has some performances that lead to wins this year going into next year?
Yeah, I think it would help if he has some performances that lead to wins. But honestly, to me, Cam's development and growth isn't about wins and losses, right? And I think, you know, Xavier Restrepo said it best, it's about wins and lessons. And that's really the main thing. He has to we don't have time to go over all this stuff, but, I mean, and we know the things that he has to get better on. I think that's the main thing, is just him developing as a player. And as a fan, it's like, yeah, you want to go out and you root for your team, but you got to understand, like, this is one of those years. It's a developmental year. I saw it in Philly, man. Trust the process. And, I mean, of course, that process didn't lead to a championship, but the Sixers – you know, they're a consistently competitive team, and I think that's kind of what this Titans team is going through, to be honest with you. Now, I'm not saying they're tanking or doing any of that, but they're just losing games. And to me, it's all about the process of development.
TD, how far will you throw your laptop this weekend if the Titans get the ball on the 42-yard line on 4th-and-3 and decide to punt?
You know what? Maybe you'll see me. Remember when Calvin Ridley dropped that Cam Ward pass against the Broncos?
Yeah.
And Calvin Ward got up like he leaned on that railing like he had a stomach ache. I may just do that. Not because I'm a fan of this team, but just because I get frustrated when bad things happen.
Oh, yeah.
Football wise. So yeah, that could end up being the case.
I mean, in all seriousness,
you could just smack Buck or something too.
Yeah,
you
know? I mean,
make yourself feel better.
Look, I think we all know that the chances that Mike McCoy ending up with the actual head coaching job when this all started is basically next to zero. But to me, like, that's the end of it right there. Just go hire another head coach. Don't overthink it, Amy.
Yeah. He did say, hindsight 2020, of course, but he said he regretted not going for it on that 4th-and-4. and I get it. You know, it's got to be tough to be in his position, but
oh yeah,
you still got to make a better decision in that case.
So real quick, TD, on the coaching front, are there any assistants here right now that you could see the new coach should be a priority for the new coach to possibly retain?
Yeah, I mean, it's all going to be, I talked about it with Nick yesterday on Next Man Up. I think it's really dependent upon what style coach. You get an offensive coach, he's probably going to lean more into the defense. So let's look at it like that. Offensive coach, I say Frank Bush. You know, it's tough, man, because these guys are good coaches. I'm seeing stuff that they're teaching happen in games. So I really couldn't say any individual ones. I honestly think, you know, defensively that group is solid. Maybe Steve Jackson, maybe not him, rather, because the safety play has been, you know, subpar. But yeah, receiver wise, you know, Tyke Tolbert for sure. You know, I think Luke Stocker, you know, those are some of the ones that come off the top of my mind that I think, you know, Hardegree, I think you could move on from him. But you have to consider just because of that relationship he has with Cam.
Well, TD, awesome stuff as always, man. Always appreciate your time and your perspective. Thanks for being with us this morning. Have a good weekend, and we will talk to you soon.
All right, for sure. Time to get back to my shadow box.
Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Teron Davenport every Friday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law and fueled by Parman Energy. We will react to what TD had to say. We got Pigskin Pick'em coming up at 8:30. Rex Rhodes grinning over there, which is always dangerous.
Well, I got, you know, there's some of these things about candy, Halloween candy.
Yeah.
You know, be careful. Someone just sent us, be sure to check your kids' candy for Titans tickets. Stop
the
it.
The horror. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL Game of the Week, the Jaguars taking on the Raiders at 3:05 on 94.9 The Fan. NFL Game of the Week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero and 12 South. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Trevor on the text line says, just make sure from this coaching staff you keep John Fossil above all else.
Yeah.
Texters don't seem to be overly concerned about.
Yeah, he'd be one of those that I would think would be high on the list. Yeah, that's the thing, too. It's interesting hearing TD talk about the
Nick Holtz.
What's that?
Nick Holtz. He'd be there.
No one mentioned him, which is fine. You know,
I wasn't calling plays. Still not, which is fine.
Fired my best friend.
Cool. Okay.
No problem. No problems here. But, you know, you think about, like, individual coaching, you know, this is another kind of example of you could be a coach over there and be doing your job well, and no one could really tell the final product. Now, you know, like with a head coach, it's a little different, right? Like everything comes back to you. But just because this team's bad does not mean that there aren't some good individual coaches on the staff.
I'm interested to see how that shakes out. My guess is, Joe, that the next staff not going to have very much holdover from this one.
Yeah.
Maybe Fossil. We'll see.
It is an interesting point he makes about Hardegree. And also, is it a defensive or an offensive coach? I mean, usually you have a little bit. You have a little bit. It's if you're a coach.
I mean, Arthur Smith was here forever.
Yeah, you immediately need – you try to identify, okay, who's worth keeping, because I don't want to try to hire every single spot,
right.
You know. The Hardegree thing is interesting because we talk about you can't – you know, continuity for the quarterback, you can't change coaches, change system, change offensive coordinators.
Yeah.
What – is Hardegree – like, does Cam really – does he believe in him? Does he want to continue? Does he actively advocate for continuing to work with the guy?
I don't know. It's a good question. Get Rand back in here, and that way they can get all their first choices at coach again, which is what he said they did last time.
Oh, that's right. That is right.
We got all of them. Every one of our coaches.
I got all these texts from everybody saying, hey, you got the guy I wanted.
Jeez. No wonder they've
been
such
a great run for this franchise.
Fire.
It's been a great run.
Oh, man. They do play a game on Sunday. The Chargers are a 9.5-point favorite in this matchup. I think everybody expects this to go poorly for the Tennessee Titans. You know, the Chargers are by no means a perfect team out there. They've got some injuries that they've dealt with all year long on the offensive line. You know, Herbert, I think we know how good he is, but, you know, Hampton has been hurt at running back. You know, they've been really on the offensive side of the ball. They've had a lot of injuries that they've had to deal with so far this year. So there's that part of it. Now, you still look at the production in the passing game, and I just look at who they've got at receiver, and I'm like, well, I don't know how the Titans are going to stop anybody from throwing the ball. They can't stop anybody from throwing the ball all year, and now we expect that they're going to do it without Snead, McCreary, and Brownlee out there and just a bunch of dudes playing at corner right now. Like, and that's why, going back to our conversation earlier in the show, it's just hard, it's hard to find a win on the Titans schedule. You know, maybe New Orleans. Maybe they sneak up and get Jacksonville once. Maybe. I mean, even in those games, like, it's gonna take some performances from guys, particularly on the defensive side of the ball at this point, where that part of the roster is, that we've just not seen them do. Like, it will take performances that they've not yet put on display in the NFL for that to happen.
Well, right, and then this week – You know, you've got some guys who may not be there anymore afterward. Like TD said, this might be it for Chig. I know Chig was asked this week in the locker room about basically being the last guy. He's the last guy from the three draft classes. You know, his draft class was 22, but also from three. You know, the last three of John Robinson's, 20, 21, and 22. He is the last man standing. And I'm with TD. I understand stockpiling picks, but I do think there's a limit to the value, the impact of
fifth round picks.
A million third day picks.
Yeah.
You can package them, you can use them, they can be helpful. Why not keep Chig? Chig is not great. Chig is probably basically, I know early on there was the excitement about Chig, right? Oh, that's gonna be a heck of a find. And it's leveled out. But he's probably about performed where he was picked in the draft.
I mean, he's a serviceable tight end. He's not a star. He's probably not a quote-unquote starting caliber tight end. But he's fine.
He makes some plays, and I do think that he and Cam Ward have a little bit of a connection.
Yeah, he's fine.
Some of the better moments in the passing game this year, he's been involved in some of them.
Beyond just like him specifically, it just goes back to how many needs do you want to create for yourself? That's right. The bottom line. It's like, how many holes do you want to just continue to punch in the roster for yourself?
And again, and I say this now. Look, I hear what TD putting those numbers out there. That does sound, when you hear that, like for a McCreary, 4 for 60. Like, yeah, that's a little rich. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is that what he's going to get? I mean, on the open market, probably, because that's how it goes. Could the Titans have gotten him for less? I don't know. I don't know what Chig's is, but Chig can't be.
Chig's not going to be that expensive.
So I know people get all over him because this is a great one, Permarant, because if you know what someone did in their offseason, now they're not serious. The dude who sat there and watched TV all offseason, that guy's fine. Chig traveled the world, so people, oh, yeah, why don't you go back to Belgium, Chig? Well, Chig's a pretty good guy in the locker room. He's a professional. He's got a good attitude, gets along with everybody. I don't think it's bad to keep some guys around like that who can play, who are young, who aren't that expensive. And, again, the alternative is getting a six-round pick.
You know, if Chig didn't go to Japan, I think this team's been in a better spot right now.
Yeah, that is. He should have been sitting there with the jugs machine in his living room, okay? Now, you're going to go try to cook up a grilled cheese sandwich? Hold on. Three from the jugs, then go cook your grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah. I'm interested to see, like, also, is he a guy that other teams look at and say, yep, bring him in? Like, I think that there's a chance. I don't know that I'm expecting this. Like, I think there's a chance that the deadline rolls around on Tuesday and they don't make any more moves because everybody looks at him and they're like, yeah, okay. I mean, what are you giving up for Arden Key? Sixth?
Yeah, probably.
Somewhere like that?
Yeah. Pick swap, fifth or sixth, you know, yeah, something like that.
What are you giving up for Chig? Can you get a fifth for Chig?
I don't know. I'm going to guess no.
Probably a sixth, right? Yeah. Somewhere in that neighborhood. So, like, again, I'm not saying it. Those things won't happen. They seem like very inconsequential moves in the grand scheme of things of the NFL right now.
You're right. So at some point, okay, keep a few guys.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, keep a few guys and sign a.
You do have to play the rest of the year. Like you have to have a roster,
right? And that is right. And all, especially like your quarterback. We're all worried about the quarterback.
Yeah.
Guys who actually can catch some passes from him maybe should stay around.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Pigskin Pick'em is coming up next. It is a very busy weekend of football around here. We will get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Pigskin Pick'em here on the program. Busy weekend of football coming up around here. The Titans taking on the Chargers. Vanderbilt on the road at Texas. Tennessee at home in a massive game against Oklahoma. We will get to all of that and more. Nick Frazier is in today for Ian, but Ian has submitted his picks, which is a good thing because he is still leading the competition. But the competition intensifying here, Joe. Mm-hmm. I went 5-1 last week with my lock.
Oh, boy.
You were 4-2 with your lock. Good weeks.
Sure.
Ian Safar, 3-3, did not get his lock a week ago. So Ian's at 34 points. You and I are both at 30.
Okay.
We have closed this gap here. Ian looked like first 3 weeks or so he was just gonna mop the floor with us, and now here we are.
Stretch run.
You bob and weave. You hang around. The calendar's flipping in November, and we've got ourselves a competition coming up here.
I'm excited.
We begin with Vanderbilt taking on Texas on the road. Texas is a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. Ian Safar remains in first place. So Ian Safar will pick first. Nick Frazier, what is Ian's selection?
Ian has Vanderbilt at +2.5.
Vanderbilt plus the 2.5 in this matchup. This is an interesting one because everything tells me that Vanderbilt should win this game based on the way these two teams have played all year long. But it is on the road at Texas, which is not an easy place to play. So, Joe, I'm going Texas. I think Texas will win by about a field goal in this one. I think it's going to be close. I don't feel good about this pick at all. I really don't. Like, Vanderbilt may walk in there and win by 2 touchdowns tomorrow. But there's something about on the road at Texas, which I think could be challenging. Joe Rexroad, Texas favored by 2.5 in this one.
Yep, just call us WHTR because I'm with you. I think Texas is going to win a close game here. I understand all their issues. I understand the incredible story that Vanderbilt football is. But it's still a very talented team that found new life with this crazy comeback against Mississippi State. If that didn't happen, I'd have no question about Vanderbilt winning this game. But they found something. They're still alive in the playoff race. I think they're going to win a close game.
Oklahoma and Tennessee coming up tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. It is a night game. The dark mode jerseys coming out for Tennessee. It will be a raucous environment. The Vols, a 2.5-point favorite in this matchup. I will start on this one. Give me Oklahoma to win the game. I do not trust Tennessee's defense. And I think at some point, when you're as bad on defense as they are, I think it's going to get you. And I think tomorrow night, it's going to get them. I think that Oklahoma will win the game outright. So I will take Oklahoma +2.5 in this matchup. Joe Rexroad, who we got?
Vols lock.
Wow.
I couldn't disagree more with you. I think the Vols defense will give up some points and some yardage, and they'll frustrate fans. Their offense is going to have a day. Oklahoma's good defense. They're not going to stop Tennessee in that stadium at night. They're not going to. And Josh Heupel does not lose to anybody not named Georgia in that stadium either. So I think the Vols are going to win this game by – I think the Vols are going to win by 10.
Wow.
I'm going to – give me the Vols 38-28.
Okay. I like it. Nick Frazier, who does Ian Safar have in this matchup?
Not sure if the dark mode jerseys play a factor, but he has the Vols at -2.5.
Going with Tennessee, -2.5. So I am both a Vanderbilt and a Tennessee hater.
You
heading
are.
Into this weekend.
WHTR for sure.
A lot of hatred coming from me this weekend. We move to the Chargers and the Titans. The Chargers are a 9.5-point favorite in this matchup. Joe? It almost feels like a waste of time to be even asking about these lines and spreads for the Titans anymore. But in this competition, I have to ask you anyway. Chargers favored by 9.5. Who we got?
Chargers. I don't have to say anything else. Chargers.
Frazier is on the phone at the moment. I'm going to go ahead and assume that Ian is taking the Chargers in this matchup.
Yes.
Am I correct?
Yes. -9.5 for the Chargers, I believe. I'm not picking my own pick, but the Chargers are just light years ahead of.
Wait, what's your pick? You're picking the Titans?
No.
Okay. I was going to say, let's hear some Titans. Let's
step out there.
No. I've already stepped on the diving board of Vanderbilt over Tennessee. Again, that's.
There we go.
I've told you about that on the side. That's nothing.
There we go. No. You got Vandy beating Tennessee? Okay. Let's go.
Yeah, give me the Chargers.
Oh, you meant the Titans. Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
That's way back in the sheets.
Yeah.
Give me the Chargers in this matchup, which means I've taken Texas, Oklahoma, and the Chargers. Be a fun show on Monday if it plays out that way.
Preds are playing well, too.
Yeah, really good stuff going on out there. We move to the individual portion of the program. Nick Frazier, what is Ian Safar's first individual pick?
Ian Safar, even though Nebraska signed that two-year extension with Matt Rhule, doesn't matter. USC minus 5.5.
Going USC minus the 5.5, taking on Nebraska this weekend. Classic Big Ten matchup there, Joe. Classic stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to it. Joe Rexroad, your first individual selection.
All right, so we've kind of forgotten about Burt. You know, Illinois' kind of faded into the background here. But Rutgers is at Illinois. Illinois minus 12.5. I think Illinois is going to win this game handily. I will take Illinois and give those 12.5 points.
Illinois minus 12.5 taking on Rutgers. Give me the Lane Train minus 12.5 at home taking on Beamer in South Carolina. I've done really enjoyed myself picking against Beamer this year. I'm going to do it again. Ole Miss minus 12.5 against South Carolina. I will take Joe Rexroad, your second individual selection.
World's largest cocktail party. Florida, Georgia, 7.5 for Georgia. That might scare some people away. Georgia has kind of flirted with some losses this year and, you know, usually finds a way. I just think that they're going to handle this. I think they're going to win this game by 10 to 14 points. Give me Georgia, and I'll give those 7.5.
Going with Georgia minus 7.5 against the Gators in the rivalry game. Give me the Carolina Panthers plus 13.5 against the Green Bay Packers and make it my lock. This is a classic Matt LaFleur game, okay? The Packers will win. They will find a way to win. They are not winning this game by two touchdowns. I don't care if it's Bryce Young. I don't care if it's Andy Dalton. I don't care who's playing quarterback for Carolina. You had a big emotional win last week. Your quarterback looked great. You handled the Steelers. This will be way more of a struggle than it needs to be against Carolina. That's what they do. I'll take Carolina plus the 13.5, locking down against the Green Bay Packers. What is Ian Safar's second individual pick?
Joe Rexroad, put your earmuffs on and raise the anchors and row the boats. He has Minnesota minus 3.5 over Michigan State.
Yes.
That's a good pick.
That's
a very good pick.
And make it his lock, by the way.
Oh, yes. Locking down on the Gophers. Will P.J. Fleck take off on a dead sprint after that happens?
I don't know. Michigan State fans hope that happens, their coach gets fired.
Who's going to tear their hamstring first? P.J. Fleck or Dabo Swinney running down a hill at Clemson? Every time Dabo runs down that hill, PJ's a little younger. That's going to end poorly one day.
Yeah. There have been people that have been hurt on that run down the hill at Clemson. It's amazing there aren't more.
Yeah.
You know?
It's when you think about it, it's kind of a stupid way to get the football team running down the hill.
Their cleats as they're all like fired up and falling into each other.
My final individual selection. Give me the Denver Broncos plus 1.5 on the road against the Houston Texans. Denver will win the game outright. It's close enough where it's basically a pick 'em anyway, but I will take the Broncos plus 1.5 on the road against the Houston Texans. Nick Frazier, Ian Safar's final individual selection.
Ian's final pick, he has the Steelers plus 3 versus the Colts, which is an interesting pick.
Going Steelers plus the 3 against the Colts. Colts are red hot. We'll see if the Steelers can put a stop to that this weekend. Joe Rexroad, your final individual selection.
Falcons and Patriots. Got to ride that Vrabel train, not Vabletane. Which sounds like Ovaltine. Why isn't it Roundtine? I don't know. But the Pats are minus 5.5 at home against the Falcons. And, I mean, they're rolling, man. Give me the Pats. I'll give the 5.5. I think they're going to beat the Falcons handily.
I mean, that puts them at 7-2, right?
If
they get that win.
Yes, it would. Not bad.
Not bad.
Good job firing him.
Going with the Patriots minus 5.5 against the Atlanta Falcons coming up. Big weekend. We'll see. Again, the pick that I made there that I feel the absolute worst about, I took Texas minus 2.5. It would not surprise me if Vanderbilt walks in there and wins by like 17 tomorrow. It really wouldn't. I have no idea what to think of that.
I'd be surprised if they go and win by 17. But I hear what you're saying. It won't surprise me at all if they win and look like the clear best team. It just, yeah, I don't know, man. I as soon as that game ended last week and Texas pulled up that comeback, I said, that's really bad for Vanderbilt. Because they were so close to walking into a place where no one would have showed, the fans wouldn't care. It's three losses, you're done. Who gives a crap? This is supposed to be the preseason number one team. You're toast. Everybody's worrying about what they're doing next year. But you get that win, and you're still alive, and, you know, Sark's fighting back against, you know, his looking around at the NFL and whatever. I just think it's – Texas still has a lot of good players. And, like, Arch, I'm assuming he's going to play. And, you know, I just – as disappointing as this year has been for him, let's not act like he never makes plays.
We'll find out tomorrow. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Final thoughts on a busy weekend of football coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
When people come to see him, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
I'm excited for what the future brings.
Sweet.
We have some big questions to answer.
So get a witch's shawl on, a broomstick you can crawl on. We're gonna pay a call on.
It's nice to hear from Amy. You know, don't get to do it all that much. That's nice true. To hear from her.
Just got to go through the Got to go to the archives. That was I. When did that get made? Just make that?
Yep.
Look at you.
Anytime I have the opportunity to put Amy Adams drunk on that aspect of it, I will.
We should have Nick and Ian, you know, like sometimes you have like a rap battle.
Yeah, just duel it out.
Have like a DJ spinoff. Yeah. We should have them do like a
mashup,
like a fast mashup battle. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree. By the way, tomorrow's college football game of the week: Georgia and Florida, 2:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Following the Vanderbilt game, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circus Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and thegamenashville.com. Joe Rexroad. Receiving some love, really, from all areas of the country right now.
Oh, yeah, that's right, baby.
Spartans Wire has put this out there. Says, one of the best to ever cover Michigan State football has weighed in on the Spartans' current coaching situation and has named who he believes could be the Spartans' next coach. Joe Rexroad, a former Detroit Free Press reporter and current national college football writer for The Athletic, offered up his thoughts on the now very active coaching carousel, which he believes will include Michigan State as well. And I won't ruin who you've named as the next head coach of the Michigan State Spartans. But, man, you're getting some love out there from really all corners of the country right now.
I think if you're going to aggregate someone's content, that's what you should do. You should give
just fluff them up.
Unearned compliments like that. So thank
one of the best to ever cover.
You're the best
Michigan State.
And, by the way, Pat Fitzgerald is my coach. So.
Oh, you did offer it up.
That's fine. It's been out there a few days. Okay. I'm not, you know, and I'll forget Michigan State. What about Pat Fitzgerald as a coach to come back into college football?
I mean, we're gonna eliminate some of the hazing stuff.
Well, the hazing stuff, you don't eliminate it. But I mean, like,
I just mean it in the future. Is he going to? We're gonna try to actively avoid that.
Yeah, that's a fair.
He did. Yeah. I think he did a good job at Northwestern, and it fell off at the end. But it's a hard place to. It's a hard place to win.
He's 50. He's only 50.
I know. Yeah, I think he'll land somewhere.
And I think he should be more talked about than he is. Look, I think that in this day and age, let's talk about Vanderbilt. Why is it working? A lot of different things. A lot of things have gone into it. But I really believe that Clark Lee and his model and his style of coaching is – I've said this before. I mean, I might have said it yesterday. It is especially important in today's game because you have to bring so many people together in such a short period of time. I mean, basically, I think the rah-rah coach, who also is likes – we keep – all week long, there's a new stuff on Brian Kelly where it's like, yeah, he didn't even know anybody's name, some of these players are saying. Like, he is the anti-coach of what you want in today's era, right?
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, kind of so is Saban. And I think that the rah-rah slash, like, humanistic, personable, likable, likes people like him coach is really important. And I think Pat Fitzgerald, like Clark Lee, fits that bill.
Matthew and Nashville, my 2 cents. Wondering if tomorrow the day that Mark Stoops finally gets fired by Kentucky, or do they give him another lifetime contract?
Oh, Connor's in there. Look at Connor. Please, please fire. None of you Kentucky people appreciate what Mark Stoops
has
done.
Hey, Connor got a nice showing of the Tennessee offense last week, though. He got to watch that in person. Tennessee and Joey Aguilar go up and down.
I saw Kentucky score into the 30s. Come on. Not bad.
That's why I don't feel good about Tennessee tomorrow.
People mad about the any sort of Vrabel, like this Tanner on the YouTube chat. What's Vrabel's record with this team, Joe? Well, it wasn't very good. Overall, it was still a winning record.
Like if he was the coach right now with this team?
Oh, or is that what he's saying? I thought he was saying, what was his record? What is his record with this team? Yeah, it's not very good. I understand that. Like, all these coaches are dependent on having players who play football to win games. I'm certainly aware of that, Tanner. Do you think that the Titans should have fired Vrabel? Do you think he's a good coach? Answer me quickly. Show's about to end. I'm waiting.
Your thoughts. Your thoughts, please. They're talking. They just got done wrapping up on Get Up on ESPN about Tennessee Oklahoma tomorrow. I think they said if Tennessee wins the game, their analytical percentage to make the college football playoff is at like 36%,
okay,
or something like that. If they lose, it's at 2, so they're pretty much done. Kind of similar for Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma has a slightly higher percentage. I think it was 8 if they lose just because of their schedule.
Yeah, our guy Austin Mock at The Athletic right now has Vanderbilt and Tennessee both as, you know, bubble teams. I think Vanderbilt has a 26% chance to get in. Tennessee with a 23% chance to get in.
Okay.
So,
obviously, you win those. When you win games, those percentages go up.
Yeah. Hey, you never know the different takes that we're going to have, Robbie. Chris in Nashville comes in here. He says, Clark Lee is personable? Robot.
Oh, okay.
Well, there's a take. Yeah, no, Clark Lee is a pretty likable guy. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He does use big words sometimes.
Yeah, I mean,
uses big words.
Sometimes he gets, you know, in a media setting, he'll get lost in some answers where he's like, oh, wow, he's been talking 4.5 minutes straight. And he goes down the rabbit hole a little bit. But, yeah, he's a pretty personable guy.
Yeah, people like that dude.
Yeah. Remember when he first got hired, he wrote us a handwritten letter in cursive.
That's right.
Kind of like thanking us for covering the football team. It was awesome.
He's a good dude.
But he wrote the whole thing in cursive. I was like, I don't even know if kids know how to do this anymore. And there it is, the whole thing, out there in cursive.
I really don't think they do.
Yeah, like I'm legitimately asking. Like, dude, you know, you don't really have to sign all that much anymore in today's world. Like, do kids learn about this anymore?
Yeah, I mean, like, I got two adult-ish sons. You know, they have to sign stuff. Well, one's an adult, one's ish. And they have to sign stuff. They have no idea. It's just like scratch. It's like Shoeless Joe putting an X on it. Like, well, you got to know how to have a signature. What's wrong with you kids? You guys know how to write cursive? Okay, even Nick Frazier says yeah.
Frazier
they
knows.
Both say they do.
Frazier knows. Yeah.
Frazier knows how to do everything.
Yeah. Frazier, I think, could repair anything in this building if need be.
Look, second grade is when you learn cursive, and it's a shame they don't teach it anymore. They should, because I think handwritten sentiments are the greatest thing on planet Earth.
See, look at him. He's an old soul.
He is an old soul.
I love it. We got any big Halloween plans tonight, Joe?
Yeah, we are the losers. We don't even have, like, we don't have any decorations out in our house. Like, we're going to be, I think we have to go to, like, a Halloween party and stop by.
Okay.
So we're just going to be the jerks who, like, have their lights off. We have all these kids in my neighborhood. And Rex around house is,
yeah.
We used to do it up big time.
Yep.
You got some trick-or-treating to do.
Trick-or-treating tonight, Allison's going as Olaf. Rumor has it I might have to dress up as Sven from Frozen.
Do you have the stuff?
No. I think my wife may be acquiring it as we
Let's
speak.
Do it. You better have some
Hopefully
pictures
Hopefully no
for
photographic
us.
Evidence of that. We'll see how it goes.
Heather, there must be photographic and preferably video, please, for Monday.
We'll be back Monday morning after a busy weekend of football. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.